tuning in to the Queer Truth podcast that takes on a variety of topics from pop culture to everyday life. I'm Chantel C. You can call me CC, and I'm joined by my partner in organizing, Denise.
Hey.
Welcome back.
It's been a hiatus.
Well, it wasn't a hiatus. There's been things happening.
Why are you on my phone?
Girl.
What's going on?
Man, see how people do? Don't see somebody for 2 weeks and all of a sudden. Forgot.
Don't forget. I got the amnesia.
We are dedicating our entire first segment to music. Us, the women in music and the women being appreciated in music. It's deep. There's a lot happening. So we're going to start with the easy one that I know you'll appreciate. Let's start with Cardi B. Cardi B dropped Invasion of Privacy, right? Everybody's been looking forward to her first studio full-length album. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, through some technicalities, it's already gold due to the success of her single, record, Bodak Yellow.
You said technicalities?
I'm just repeating back what the news said.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's what everybody in the, that's what they said, though. I ain't throwing shade. And Cardi was the musical guest on SNL this past weekend and confirmed the rumors that had been swirling for a minute that she is pregnant. When asked why she didn't want to come out immediately, she said, because the haters gonna hate, and I didn't want all that negativity in my life of what is meant to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. And she even popped off on Instagram, but decided to delete that post and then only promote all the people who were supporting her. Oprah, not on her personal account, Oprah on Oprah Magazine account, promoting Cardi. Has a cute little picture of her with her eyes closed, dancing and her finger up, talking about listening to that new Cardi B. Riri, big fan. Even 50 Cent was dropping her some love about being pregnant. Why is Cardi B the one that everyone wants to hate? Why? Because I feel like there's a lot of hate out there right now about her album. Her album is good. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. It's a lot of fun to listen to. It's definitely going to be popular in the warmer months. I feel like she says she hasn't been working with anyone. Maybe she hasn't been working with a voice coach, but she's definitely been working with a speech coach. She's really gotten her act together. I feel like it's very strong. It would be hard to claim that this album has no musical merit, but some people are doing that. And at the same time, hating on her for getting pregnant at this stage in her career when she's about to go on tour.
From Offset, after they just had a cheating scandal.
Well, I don't...
Because, you know, people are all up in that relationship.
We can't talk. You know, I ain't got nothing to say
I don't want to talk about Offset. You know, the whole situation is giving me very Future vibes. It's giving me Future Sierra vibes. The whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Offset gives me Future vibes.
Okay, I'm not here to talk about Fuckboy. Why are we talking about Fuckboy? I'm here to talk about Cardi B. Why do people want to hate on an album that is actually quite good? Why do people want to hate on a woman who's pregnant? I mean, there's not a time in her career where anybody would say, oh, this is a good time for her to get pregnant. Because if you're Janet Jackson and you're 50 plus and you take time off of your concert to get pregnant, you get hated on.
That's probably.
Right?
That's problem.
So,
okay, but here's the thing. Cardi B rose through the ranks, not in a typical underground way that a lot of rappers rise through. She rose through the ranks because, you know, she put herself out there in a different way. Mm-hmm. And I think this kind of like Kardashian element to her success gives people pause. And she's nothing. She's nothing like a Kardashian.
Well,
I love
she has talent like first.
She has talent. But they're definitely there for some people, especially for the Nicki stans. It feels like she's getting a lot more shine because of her personality than because of her talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't feel fair. But yeah, I think Cardi's had a good attitude about it throughout the whole thing. She said, you know, people always want to make it a thing between Nicki and I. I've always said that I love her stuff. I've posted clips, you know, with her music in the background, rocking to it and everything.
But
people always want it to be. That's what she said.
I got to interject just for a moment because Nicki has dropped two singles. Check them out if you haven't yet. They're dope. She's back on Instagram slowly, not like she used to be. She took her long break from social media, but she did come out in an article and say that she was really, really hurt by the way Cardi B talked about her with the whole motorsport scandal. She said,
"Explain the motorsport."
Well, I don't, you know, we've spent time on it already, but you know, there was some backlash about motorsport and the different verses, especially Quavo. Quavo didn't have Nicki's back, and Cardi B didn't have Nicki's back. Cardi was like, "I ain't hear the verse, ain't verse, ain't got nothing to do with me," basically, is what she did. Mm-hmm. She didn't have Nicki's back, and Nicki was like, "Look, there are people that I have the greatest respect for because they put me on from the beginning." I think her example was Trina, if I'm not mistaken. She said, "You know, I love her. Trina wanted me on an album before anyone else did because she believed in my talent. And because of that, you know, she'll always be in the highest regard. I'd never say anything bad about her." That wasn't what Cardi did to Nicki. So I do understand why people...
She didn't say anything bad, but she didn't speak up when she could have.
No, she didn't. She threw her under the bus. From Nicki's perspective, she threw her under the bus.
This is going to be a very interesting thing. Because, you know, right now we have three women in the game that are basically putting New York on the map in terms of rap. All coming out of New York. So you got Azealia Banks, you got Cardi B, and you got Nicki Minaj.
Azealia Banks isn't putting New York on the map.
Whatever, man. Her last drop was banging. Stop playing.
Okay.
Stop. She like, the thing about Azealia is, like her or not, and a lot of people don't for very valid reasons, she is her own worst enemy.
I don't like her music. I don't like her music. It's not even about all the other things that we've talked about. I actually don't like her music. And I've tried, because I know you're a fan. I have tried. I don't like it. It doesn't speak to me. And okay. I'm also not always a New York fan, right? But
New York's got a sound. But the thing about Azealia is she's got many styles. She sings. She tends to pick really good beats, work with the producers. I mean, like, it's a whole thing. It's a package deal when you come into rap. Because there's some people that, you know, they... You know, if I had my way, you know, every radio station would be pumping Lady LaShore. Like, I love her.
Okay, so since you putting in this segue that lines it quite nicely for people who are actually multi-talented, let's move on to the real queen of that, Janelle Monáe. Monáe is doing it right now, right? And I love everything that she's doing. I feel like there's coming out, and then there's Janelle Monáe.
She's like, "Here's my girlfriend as my literal pussy." Like, it's also my girlfriend.
See, so. You're lining it up so perfectly for me, because that's exactly what I want to talk about. If you have not seen Janelle Monáe's new video, check it out. It's beautiful. It's called Pink with a Y. And in it, everything is pink. Let me say
focus. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Take a breath.
Come back. Let me stay focused. And in the video, there's a lot of, well, you know, you read the words pussy power, first of all, and there's a lot of play and alliteration and illustration and imagination, right, around what the P looks like. And as it is these days, in my personal opinion, there's this thing happening in the queer community that really annoys me, where apparently cis people are no longer allowed to talk about gender. And there was some backlash from the trans community, specifically on Twitter. It wasn't huge. I don't want to take, you know, blow it out of proportion. But there was a backlash about the video being too pussy-centric in its feminist stance, if you will. I don't know if it was a feminist stance. I felt like it was just like, let's have some fun and promote the pee, you know? What's wrong with that? But one woman on Twitter summed it up quite nicely. Her handle is Of the Sistren, Sister Mary. Quote, "I'm seeing trans folks and allies talk about pink being too pussy central and therefore excluding trans women. As a cis woman who only just unlearned the shame that came with having a vagina, I'm asking what's the best way to celebrate vaginas without being trans exclusionary." End quote. And I want to come back to this, but I will say that Tessa Thompson, who's in the video, responded on Twitter by tweeting, quote, "To all the Black girls that need a monologue that don't have vaginas, I'm listening," end quote. And she tweeted that in response to Blavity's complaint, or specifically a trans writer on Blavity complaining about the pussy focus of the video. this is something that I've talked about before. Why do people with vaginas who want to promote their vaginas have to hide that?
I missed the part where vaginas was this oppressive symbol. What I understand about the way that the world works is that you could still, you know, you have a higher likelihood of being aborted if you have a vagina. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a higher likelihood of being killed before you reach the age of 12 if you have a vagina. You have a higher likelihood of all manner of things. Mm-hmm. I could go on, all kinds of sexual violence and violence, clitorectomies, you name it, gender mutilations, all right. kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So it's still a class of, you know, a class of people that have a tremendous amount of uphill battle for true equality. This idea now that we need to pretend like we don't have it, or that we need to then internalize some sort of hidden message about it. But the thing that the video Pink doesn't do is that, as far as I understand, she's not equating vaginas to womanhood.
Absolutely
she
not.
She doesn't make any definitions about what a woman is.
Right. If you listen to the lyrics, and that was really important to me, I went back and listened to the lyrics really properly after the backlash, and that doesn't come up in the song. There's nowhere that it says a woman, you know, has a vagina. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's just maybe expressing her own personal appreciation for the pussy and thereby empowering people who have them. Side note, not everyone who has a pussy identifies as a woman. So
I think the real issue with the Janelle Monáe video and her video before that I sent to you excitedly at the butt crack of dawn one night, where I was just like, ladies, is that why you got your girlfriend in your video? You don't know how this goes?
Stop.
In all your videos, yo.
Why she gotta be the girlfriend in all your videos? They could just be friends, close sistren.
One day
embracing the sisterhood, enjoying each other's company thoroughly.
Okay. I mean, you know, this is a Hollywood romance at the end of the day, gay or not. It is a Hollywood romance.
Look, those things need to put it in the universe for them to make it. Stop trying to tear them down.
Ain't nobody said
you saying how it's going to... in. It might not.
Okay.
Jada and Will did a video in the OOs, and look at them today.
Well, say it again.
Huh?
Yeah, I feel that.
Okay, and it was a very cute video. It's a very cute video.
It's been a very cute few videos. A very cute few videos. I'm just like, yo, she all over the album, sis. she's killing the whole album, yo. Mm-hmm. You sure? Okay, cool. Okay. All right, cool. I'm just, you know, my gay auntie self is saying,
I understand.
Don't put your girlfriend in all your videos. Perchaps not.
Oops.
I don't know.
And then we also had in music, Drake dropped a very fun video. You know how I feel about Drake. Love Drake. And Drake dropped a video that I was feeling. Also, the lyrics I was feeling, like, mad feeling. If you haven't watched it yet, it's called Nice for What. And a lot of people hate on Drake because he's like the coolest, uncoolest person in the game. But you know what? What he has always done, he's always put women on. I know we've talked about his lyrics not always doing that, but he doesn't have the lyrics that other people have, even if some of his lyrics are still misogynist and old fashioned and patriarchal. Mm-hmm. And he really appreciates the big bone, dark skin, all like the whole range of women. Mm-hmm. And in this video, he has a lot of fun. He has some of my favorites in there. We got Issa Rae, Tiffany Haddish, Tracee Ellis Ross. Sid is even in the video with a woman laying in her lap. Okay, Sid, we all know who you are. Letitia Wright.
I need to calm down.
But a lot of people were like kind of hating on Drake about it. And a lot of people were loving it. Now, this comes on the heels of another video where he went to Miami. I literally had to hit up my niece on Instagram because she's at the University of Miami and knows everything. And I was like, so tell me how that went down with that video. It comes on the heels of a video that they gave him $1 million budget on. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to just get his money away. Went to Miami and gave the money away. And that's what the video shows, him giving the money to a mother and son sitting on the sidewalk. He goes into, you know, a grocery store in a certain part of town where you probably have a lot of brown people, and comes on the mic and says, "Everything you're buying right now is for free." I mean, it's a lot of fun, the video, right? And now he makes this video where he just celebrates a lot of women who he probably has great admiration for their work and what they do. And people were kind of hating on him for it. Now, Panama Jackson from Very Smart Brothers was loving on him for it because that's Panama. But people were hating on him for it. What is there to hate? Am I missing something?
Like a Panama avatar? Never bad. I'm sure Panama loved it.
Am I missing something as an aspiring feminist, what I should be hating on about this video?
Okay. Let me tell you the most literary burn that I saw from a Doreen St. Felix in the New Yorker about Drake. She wrote an article, came out 2 days ago. It was called The Art, Cardi B, Drake, and the Art of Sampling Lauryn Hill. Right.
What they got to do with Cardi B? Okay. I see.
Oh, Cardi B does it. Okay, so she, you know, she waxes poetically about Cardi B for a second, and then moves on to say, Drake, meanwhile, a stylist capitalist who looks at music as a trend forecasting business, tends to use female vocals from the 90s to assert his emotional acumen by sampling Hill and by showcasing the other female celebrities, Tracee Ellis Ross, Issa Rae, who preen in the accompanying music video. He appropriates feminist zeal for a carefree summer track. On Nice For What, Drake has spun his globe and landed his finger on Louisiana. The song begins with the rallies of New Orleans bounce veteran Big Frida, and then quickens and shudders and stutters Hill's vocals. So, I mean, there's definitely this feeling of Drake as this kind of like mixed race, suburban, Jewish and Black kid from Canada, you know, cutting his teeth and making his mark in appropriating this very American sound and various very specific American sounds. And then even going as far to like, you know, get in there with the reggaeton and Afrobeat. So I think
I'm sorry, but Drake has been in the game for a long time. He's always been with Cash Money. You know, the love of his life for a very long time was Lil Wayne. He always put on Kanye for how they influenced him. I feel, you know, he is Black. He identifies as Black. Mother is a white Jewish woman, but he personally identifies as Black. He's very clear about that. And he loves his mama. I mean, this is somebody who puts his mama in a lot of his videos.
Very J. Cole style. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's nobody above his mama. So I just feel like I'm not going to get like Stevie Wonder on it when he was coming for people who was calling Bruno Mars an appropriator. But what's wrong with having a carefree moment for women in the summer? Like, why does everything need to be a struggle?
Oh, no. I mean, look, I definitely love me some Drake, as you know. I don't believe that everything needs to be a struggle, but I think that author, St. Felix, really articulated a lot of why people just don't feel Drake. They just don't feel like he's coming from a place of authenticity.
But that's because he's a geek. That's what I'm saying. He's the coolest uncool person. Oh, yeah. But like, you have to give him props. He's been in the game for a long time. In a lot, I don't know the game well enough to say, but a lot of music critics who know the game, who are from New York, say that Drake changed the whole hip hop game. He made it possible to be vulnerable, to be soft, to not be cool. I mean, his mascot is an owl. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel all of that. I feel like, you know, big up to Drake for, you know, getting a real singing coach and really working on his craft in that way and singing more and kind of like pushing himself artistically in some ways. At the same time, this is why that burn that I read is why people aren't feeling him. There's something about him that isn't Big Frida. Big Frida is from New Orleans, right? Big Frida is coming from a very, she places herself in a place that is so real to her. There's nobody that could do, you know, Big Frida like Big Frida.
But I feel like there's something about New Orleans that brings this up every time, right? Because Beyonce, who has ties, right? Mm-hmm. Family ties to New Orleans. Spends a lot of time there. Also, for slightly different reasons, but also got heavy hit about bringing New Orleans into her music. So maybe there's something specific, because I didn't hear any of those complaints when it was just Cash Money. But, you know, people get very sensitive for some reason. Even people who aren't from New Orleans get very sensitive about the New Orleans sound. So that's an interesting one. Who knows? We'll leave it for the public, the audience to decide.
Also, I'm going to say this one last thing about Drake. There's a bit of a Common vibe. Common kind of strikes me as this dude that hides behind women in a very particular way. Mm-hmm, like, you know, he allies himself with these very powerful, amazing, talented women, whether it be Serena Williams, Erykah Badu, you name it. Mm-hmm. And
he doesn't ally himself. He dates them. But okay. Uh-huh.
You like what?
I said he doesn't ally himself. He dates them.
Oh, yeah. He dates them, but like he uses them as cover. In a certain way. And I think that people are very weary of a Drake doing that as well, especially since he has so much power to do so. Like, you know, we'll see. I mean, like, he's been in the game for a long time to have no loose lips about his behavior or about, like, how anything of that sort. So we'll see. We'll see how it comes.
In our second segment, we're going to start with Big Unk.
Okay.
In our second
hold up.
Yes. So
Google's gonna tell my big
uncle. In the second segment, we're going to discuss racism, white supremacy in the fashion industry. And obviously, you know, we don't have a lot of time, so we're not gonna be able to go through all of it. But let's just set the scene. Paris Fashion Week, 2017, October 2017. Stella McCartney, one person of color in her models. However, the models are wearing African print dresses that cost $1,000 upwards.
Very affordable.
Very affordable. Mm-hmm. Then we move on to the coolest monkey in the jungle, and so on and so forth. And then we have present day. We just skip all of the fun stuff and get straight to it. Big Uncle. Now, I already have a problem with that name, with that brand. But Big Uncle, an Italian brand, decided that they were going to get people, as they say, to reflect on colonialism by promoting colonialism. They have printed colonialism on their clothes. Just the word colonialism.
Sorry.
On sweatshirts.
That's happy memories for everybody.
Happy memories for everybody. There is a petition out, of course, to have them remove this on change.org. But what's fascinating is they don't get it. They said they weren't trying to glorify a historically bloody period. They were trying to move us to reflect on it. Now, if that's not enough for you, if you're like, writing colonialism on a t-shirt, that's not so bad. Okay. For the Londoners out there, you may have heard that Puma and JD, and Puma, I know I can't talk about it on here because it's stuff that I've heard from clients, but Puma does not have a great reputation of doing things properly in the Black and Brown communities of the world. And that continues in London as well. They hosted a party that basically looked like it was inspired by poverty and drug dealing.
Oh, good times.
And not only did they host the party that kind of invoked the feeling of growing up on an estate and you know, being threatened by violence and drug dealing and so forth, they even used the word trap and trap. Now, peep this, though. They were first very defensive because they live tweeted this, and obviously there was a lot of pushback. They were first very defensive about it. They even called the thing the House of Hustle. But okay. They said that they invented the House of Hustle as a part of a current campaign that, if you're in London, you're probably familiar with. It's called Run the Streets, right? And they say that that campaign is designed to highlight young entrepreneurs who use their skills and talents to build business. They normally say urban entrepreneurs, but they mean Black.
Oh, gosh.
And in a statement that they've finally issued, at first, like I said, they said they don't have anything to apologize for. Eventually, they did issue a statement. Now, listen to this laughable thing. Quote, in our invitations to the event, we use the terms trap and trapping with the intention of the colloquial interpretation of hard work and hustle in a number of fields. Unfortunately, these words can, in some context, be associated with the illegal drug trade. Yada, 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 yada. We never intended associations with drug usage, drug culture, or drug dealing in any way, and we regret any misunderstandings in this respect. We apologize for any upset or offense caused in the usage of this language, end quote. So in this faux apology, they're apologizing for their lack of understanding of somehow not knowing that trap is definitely related to drug dealing, but not apologizing for the House of Hustle and putting on poverty and glamorizing, you know.
I mean, for them, what's really sad is that for them, that is the equivalent of blackness, right? Like, so that's...
Right.
So they've reduced black culture to criminality, and they've criminalized it, right? But then they want to repackage and sell it back to us. Mm-hmm. In this way that they could then make a profit. It's the same thing that happens with the marijuana industry, right? Mm-hmm. So we're criminalized for it. We're put in jails for it. But then that same industry is then legalized and only made accessible to people without criminal backgrounds. And therefore taken out of the hands of, black folks who may have been, holding that industry afloat for many years. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I mean, like, the thing is that sadly in the hood, we've had brands that we've had some level of loyalty to that we've essentially made. Mm-hmm. And those brands include Puma. They include, yes, Adidas. They come out of, like, the intense kind of, like, us making this a cool thing, making it hip-hop thing, when they didn't even want us to wear their clothes. They would not put a black person on the runway for Tommy Hilfiger, but when Hilfiger was popping in the hood. Like, right, I remember
right,
that.
Right. Well, I mean, Hilfiger was very clear who he wanted to wear his clothes and didn't. He made a clear statement about that.
Right. So, but, you know, when they realized the bank, you know, how bankable black folks are, right. Black Panther, when they realize how bankable we are, mm-hmm. then the story shifts, right? Then you got the Red Bull Music Academy. Mm-hmm. Then you got, you know, because all of this culture that we have basically been the cultural barometers for the entire world for like a century.
Absolutely. I listened to a really interesting podcast, How I Built This, with Guy Raz. And he was interviewing the founder of FUBU. And his story is a great one. He's also someone who loves his mama. And his mama came through on many occasions. And when he got that big deal, he took his mom into the deal room. And they were even like, I think you're the first person who's ever brought their mom into the deal room. And he was explaining, you know, the culture of the 70s when hip hop was coming around in New York, and how it was actually a really big deal when Adidas made that decision to partner with Run DMC, right? That was like the first time that a large brand was okay with being associated with hip hop. Mm-hmm. And he went on to tell his story, which I won't tell here, but it's great. Check it out if you haven't. But the thing that's interesting is everything he described, right? He's talking about building his brand in the 80s. Nothing has really changed as far as lowering the barriers for access for other people to come into the fashion industry. And in my barbershop, some people were talking about this week as well, because obviously there's a lot going on in London as far as crime is concerned, a lot of stabbings, a lot of homicides. And one of the guys was like absolutely convinced that if black people would stop investing in these brands that don't want them.
Oh my God.
If we would just create our own brands and like stand for them, right? Like give them the prestige that Rolex has, give them the prestige that Louis Vuitton has, give them the prestige that Gucci has.
All things would be healed through economic empowerment, essentially.
All things would be healed.
But you know, there's also
But why do you react to that? Why do you react so strongly to that?
I react to that because my instant gag reflex, like if you want to see me projectile vomit immediately, is you start a sentence with the problem of black people is. And that's just me. I feel like there's a lot of black white supremacists. There's a lot, you know, we also call them hoteps or noteps or whatever, that believe that if we emulate whiteness in whichever way, right? They usually they pick away. Mm-hmm. If we emulate whiteness and white behavior in a certain way, somehow all of what ails the Black community will be magically solved, revealed, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, I love the quote that said, problem with Black people is that we believe there's a problem with Black people.
Boom. That, right. I don't know. I don't know. I've only ever read it. I have no idea who said it. I've only ever read it.
Like, somebody smart said it.
Somebody.
It had to be, because it's like, it's so very real. You know, you just want to discount all the structural stuff that's going on. You want to discount the fact that we could have the exact same results and have different, we could have the same numbers empirically and have very different outcomes, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at, I mean, if this was the Avengers movie having the success of Black Panther movie, or if it was the Wonder Woman movie having the success of the Black Panther movie more kind of like appropriately, imagine the articles that would be coming out. Would you ever see an article talking about box office numbers don't really matter anymore? Can a movie be too big? Can a movie earn too much money? Is the success of Wonder Woman ruining cinema for those are the articles that came out.
Right. Well, Saudi Arabia said, actually, we gonna reopen cinema. So, for Black Panther. For those of you who may have missed the news, Black Panther is now, at least in the United States, it has surpassed Titanic to take the number 3 spot when it comes to box office sales in the U.S. So, boom. There you go.
You know Leonardo DiCaprio low-key mad. You know he is.
Oh, he's not mad. But you know who is mad?
Probably Kate Winslet and her Woody Allen. I'm mad because you're not been hating on her ever since she came out.
The director, he's mad.
Why am I mad? Ryan Coogler? Wait, no, the director of Titanic. Yeah. Okay. See, I don't even know that dude's name. I only, there is only one director in Hollywood right now. And his name is Ryan
Coogler. Hey, come on now. Ava. Let's not do Ava like that. Because Black people didn't come out to support her the way they did. But let's stay focused. Fashion.
This idea that economic empowerment will be this panacea for all the ails of the Black community is mm-hmm. nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's nonsense. And this idea that capitalism is set up in such a way that it can address structural inequality is also nonsense, right? It's not set up in such a way that that values or devalues things based on structural inequalities. It doesn't. You know, and as a matter of fact, structural inequality can boost your capitalist endeavor. Look at Puma with a trap house.
We doing trap houses and claim to know that it has no connection to trapping. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somebody literally was on Instagram and saw Titty Boy's trap house in Atlanta and was like, let's do that. That's what happened.
And not give him any royalties.
Let's do Titty Boy's trap house.
And not raise any money for the communities that we stole this from.
Right. Because that's what Titty Boy did. All that money went to the community. Mm-hmm. He had HIV testing for free. Mm-hmm. And any piece of money went right back into the community. But, you know, colonialism. We just want you to reflect on it.
If we just put it on a shirt, we'll get it. Like, I think we should just put colonialism on a shirt and then we'll get it.
Done.
He had the most anemic looking model.
let's not go to personal levels of criticism. Oof. In our final segment, what are we excited about? What are we looking forward to? Hit it.
Booyah, 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 boom. I'm excited for, and I know this feels like a long shot. Mm-hmm. We have been sitting on this for years, but I'm excited for a future where on my feed, I see the R. Kelly indictment. I feel like it's coming. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've turned a tide. I feel like the Guardian article made us turn a tide. Mm-hmm. But you know, you want to talk about, like, if I was a ninja and I had one goal in life to hunt someone down and right some wrongs, it would be R. Kelly. I'm sorry. That's who I am personally.
What else are you actually excited about?
Oh boy, what am I excited about? I'm excited about Late Austria finally opening A Wrinkle in Time.
Yay! It's like this. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
late. I know. It's really, really, really bad.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, but I just feel like the global release just wasn't as coordinated as with Black Panther.
But Marvel always does that. They do that on purpose because they know that's the first thing to get jacked.
Mm. So we've had to wait quite a bit for Wrinkle in Time, and I know that's like old news. I'm also excited about really getting into the Cardi album. I feel like I've only heard snippets of it.
Yeah, you got to get into it.
I really want to get into it because I heard that, you know, she has some writers on that album that were really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's strong. It's strong.
And there was a remix of Be Careful With Me that I loved and just really highlights that it's a solid song regardless of the delivery. So it's, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing her shine.
Even DJ Beverly Bond was like giving shade on Instagram. She was like, I have trained ears. And he went on this long list. And she was like, there is nothing to criticize on this album. I was like, oh, that is beautiful. All these women coming and uplifting Cardi. Beautiful. 25 years old. Who can ask for more? I'm excited about BBZ. Babes is back tonight with their second birthday anniversary. I won't be able to stay long, but I'm definitely going. To party a little bit. And I'm also excited about the fact that a man named Lamarod Owens, co-author of Radical Dharma, is currently touring the UK, and I got to meet him personally a few days ago. He's putting on an amazing tour. Tonight he'll be in Brighton. For people in Brighton, go! He's talking about
radical self-care. That's not far from you. It's a 45-minute train ride.
Radical self-care and radical self-love for BIPOC LGBTQ folks. That's what his talk is on tonight.
Nice.
He's amazing. He is all about the radical dharma. He's all about the queerness. So if you are here, just look him up. Lama, L-A-M-A. Lama Rod. That's his website. You'll thoroughly enjoy any talk he gives, no matter what your faith or religion. Well, that's all for this week. If you would like to keep up with us, you can follow us on Twitter at The Queer Truth. We'd love to hear your thoughts on some of the things we've discussed today. So feel free to get at us. And if you can, drop us a dime at patreon.com/thequeertruth. Until next time, peace out.